Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And Jen, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I mean, it's like my hips hurting. I tried to go running on Saturday.
Really?
I was like, I need to get some energy out. I'm just going to go for a run. And if anyone above a certain age has just decided to go for a run, you know that you are punished for it very quickly. And I did. I sort of like rocked, like I ran, walked for, I don't know, an hour. And I ran until I couldn't run anymore. And then I walked and then I ran until I couldn't run anymore. And I felt great afterwards. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, did I get run over by a truck?
Oh, no.
Like, my shoulder hurts, my jaw hurts, my scalp hurts, my hip hurts,
my ankle hurts.
My knee hurts. Everything on every sort of like joint on the left side of my body hurts. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this? I'm physically able to run. I should be able to just do things. And this is a big difference. I cannot.
But you did it for an hour. Like, that's crazy. Like, if you're going to start doing some new form of exercise, you start small.
I know. What's small? I walked like 50% of it. It wasn't. So I ran for a half hour.
But you ran also. You live where it's really hilly.
That's true.
So you're going to get, your muscles are going to hurt more because you were going uphill and stuff.
It's not just the muscles, everything. So that's happening. And then I'm also like in a war with my health. I've never in my life gotten involved with what everybody told me to get involved in, which is like the FSA healthcare plan. It's like the savings plan. I don't even know if that's the right thing. It's the savings plan for healthcare. And I put too much into it at the end of last year, not understanding that it goes away. I was like, oh, I'll just put money into this savings account for my health. And then I just got a notification. They were like, you have $1,500 you need to spend in 2 days. I was like emailing the acupuncturist and I was like, can I just bulk buy? And no, you can't do that. You'll get audited. It's like everything good is actually bad. This is why I don't fuck with anything. It's so annoying. I'm like, what? Like, I tried to buy glasses, but I bought them from a boutique that wasn't on the FSA approved list. So they're auditing me. Like, I'm just, why is everything hard?
I don't know. I really don't know why everything is hard and why it continues to be hard and why simple things are hard.
Simple things are hard. Like, our accountant has become part of a conglomerate of accountants now. Like, and they're not even based here anymore. They're like in Florida. And like, they sent us a letter of engagement And this is just me bitching. These are all like fine problems to have. I'm not dying. I'm incredibly grateful for my life. Let me just say that up front. But they sent us a letter of engagement. And I was like, what does this mean? What? And they're like, well, you have to commit to using us as your accounting firm and you need to pay us $800 up front.
They want a retainer fee?
They want a retainer.
That's just, is that the wave of the future in accounting?
I don't know. There's just like accounting conglomerates now. And I, you know, we've liked this account. And also who wants to move? It's just like getting a new therapist. Who wants to explain the whole fucking thing to another
all
person
over again.
And be like, so we do these things and also these things. it's just, yeah. So anyway, that's a lot of adulthood in my life this week. How about you?
I'm fine. I don't know. It's pretty today. The sky is at blue. That makes me happy. It's going to be in the 50s. That also makes me happy.
You said you've been moody, though. Why have you been moody?
I don't know. We keep talking about this, and by the time this episode comes out, it will have happened, but I am turning 60 in a matter of days.
You are turning 60. Yes, it's true.
And I've been fine with it, or pretty fine with it. It's like sobering. That's what I would say about turning 60. It's sobering.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it's just like, it's funny because Lucy Sant, who's our guest on this episode, was talking about how she would not have traded growing up in the 60s and 70s for growing up now.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, very young in the 60s. I was born in 1964. But like, I'm glad I saw the 70s. I'm glad I saw the 80s. I'm glad I saw a lot of the shows I saw. So yeah. I feel like that part of turning 60, I'm cool with, like the history part.
Yeah.
The fact that I've been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a weird thing. It is the last, you can't really... You know, 40s and 50s, you're still solidly middle-aged.
Okay. Okay. And so wait, so what do you think then? What is 60 then?
60 is like latest middle age.
Okay.
If you're still going to get away with calling yourself middle-aged, you have to call yourself really late middle-aged.
Do you think that you're a senior citizen? Sorry, this just makes me laugh. I can't imagine you as a senior citizen. It's so
I know,
funny.
But this is why I'm having such dissonance, because it's like the number and the way I feel inside, and I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm in such great shape,
right.
But the way I feel inside feels different, you know?
Right. No.
You know, I don't feel like a 60-year-old. I feel like a fucking 17-year-old fuck up half the time.
Yeah.
You know, so being this like age where people are grandparents. I mean, people are grandparents much younger than 60, but.
Wow. Right. Grandparent age. Holy shit.
Like my grandmother was 100% in her 60s when I was born, you know?
My grandmother was in her 40s when I was born, but yeah, that's 60s is definitely grandmother age, but you don't seem like a grandmother.
Well, for many different reasons.
Right.
But I do like do part of me just thinks like I'm still really immature. I'm just immature.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that. I mean, I was thinking about, I mean, we've talked about this before, like at what age did you arrest? You know, like where am I arrested? Where is my development still? Where am I still not mature? What am I still running from in adulthood? You know, like what? I think about that all the time. Like there's so many things that I feel blocked to deal with in so many ways that I'm still overthinking and paranoid and projecting things and imagining like negative fantasies about people if they don't call me back. You know, just all the same fucking bullshit. It's still there. I'm going to be 51 next week. It's ridiculous.
I know. I mean, it's funny because this also came up with Lucy, and I shouldn't keep going on about things we talked about, but when she was saying like, I am who I am. I am who I've always been. You know, so why should it surprise me that I feel like a 17-year-old fuck up? Because that's like, in some respect, I am.
Yeah.
So that's what's been on my mind.
Yeah, I get it. Do you think about, are you starting to think, this is such a gross word and they shouldn't call it this, but are you starting to have like a little bit of like a bucket list kind of thing, like a more urgency to a bucket list? Like what am I going to do?
A little bit. Not, I mean, I still feel like, you know, all things being equal, I've got enough time.
Yeah.
You know, if things turn out okay, I've got enough time. So I'm not, and I, the idea of a bucket list is like a, you know, it's a, it's a perfectly fine thing, but it's always, I think the name of it always bothered me.
Yeah. It's gross.
So corny.
So corny.
So corny and dumb, but like the idea of having a list of things you want to do before you die is like, great. Why not?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
My mom has a bucket list.
She does?
She does have a bucket list. She has place, mostly it's places she wants to visit.
What? Do you know what they are?
She wants to go to Dubai.
Wow, that is not on any of my lists.
It's not on any of my lists either. But she wants to go to Dubai very badly. She's very fascinated by the fact that it didn't exist 25 years ago.
Interesting.
And that, you know, there's interesting architecture there. I mean, I can think of nowhere I'd rather go less. And I haven't heard good things about going there. But that is on Eve Francis' bucket list.
Have you been watching anything good? Speaking of, nothing.
No, I mean, I saw nothing new. I've been watching Feud, which continues to not be very good. The one about Truman Capote and his swans.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a mess. It's just a mess. And it pisses me off because it could have been so good. I mean, those women are all fascinating, or their stories were fascinating.
No, that's my whole thing about him. I'm pissed off at him. I'm pissed. As I said, I'm pissed off at him from Halston. I'm just pissed. I saw All of Us Strangers, which is the movie with Paul Mescal in it. And by the way, just like Paul Mescal is like, he's so hot. He's so fucking hot. It's just crazy how hot he is. Like in this movie, he plays like a very handsome gay man, and there's some sex in the movie, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is it. The gay sex with Paul Mescal. He's such a good actor, and like he was great in After Sun, where he plays a single dad, like a depressed single dad. He's great in this movie. After Sun is a phenomenal movie. It's on my list of my favorite movies from last year. But it's very rare that I look at a man and think, holy fucking shit, that is a hot man. And that is the way I feel about Paul. Not like our Seth Rogen, like, oh, he's hot, or like my Bradley Whitford thing. I'm like talking about like, I am absolutely objectifying this man physically because I find him physically beautiful.
I understand that. When we were in Amsterdam over the summer, some friends of Paul's rented a boat to have like a private tour of the canals. So we went with them and it was super fun. And our boat captain had the most beautiful skin I've ever seen on anybody. Just this perfect, beautiful skin. He was very handsome too. And I couldn't stop staring at him. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. It is embarrassing when you find someone that hot. It's really uncomfortable.
It is. It's like that's good. Like I'm 60 and I still think someone's hot. That's good.
See? There we go. You still got that. You still have that. What else is happening? What have you bought recently? Our Palm Springs trip is coming up soon.
Our Palm Springs trip is coming up before we even know it.
Yeah, I think this might be out of pot. No, I don't know when this is coming. I don't know time.
I'm so excited for our Palm Springs trip. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I bought new Birkenstocks for our Palm Springs trip. Birkenstocks, I was like, ugh, Birkenstocks, I'm over them. There are so many cool looking styles on Birkenstocks right now. There's so many new kinds of Birkenstocks.
Did I send you the Birkenstocks I want to get? I think I did a while ago.
They have an ankle strap, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're fantastic. Other thing I bought was this week shoes wise, and this is kind of for our trip because we're going to have to be on stage and I need stage shoes. Aerosoles has a bunch of really good flats. And the reason that they're good ballet flats, which I'm like, I can never wear a ballet flat again, except Aerosoles has that whole, you know, orthopedic technology inside. And I bought like a pair of pointy toe slingbacks, and I bought a regular silver ballerina flat, and they were also, or ballet flat, not ballerina, and they were all fucking on sale for like $75. I was like, all right, aerosols. I haven't gotten them yet. They might be a disaster, but.
I bought some dresses on the RealReal, some shirt dresses. They haven't come yet.
Okay, so you don't know yet.
They haven't come yet. It's always very suspenseful, you know.
Oh, right, because it could be a disaster. You can't send them back, right?
You can. Oh, yeah, you can send stuff back from the RealReal. And they actually also have stores. They have one in Soho. They have one in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
I think there's one on the Upper East Side, so you can return the stuff. But do I return?
No.
Not often. Not often. I will with this order because I ordered three dresses. So obviously I'm not going to not like them and not return them.
I bought a sheer black cover up. Like it's like a sheer black cover up robe dress thing from ASOS for $23. I know fast fashion. I should not, but I did. It's very sexy. I think maybe.
Well, you know, with fast fashion, I think that neither of us really does too much fast fashion. So if it comes into your life every once in a while.
The thing is, I keep most of my clothes for like 5-10 years, you know, like I just do. I know what I like and I buy it and I wear it a lot.
Yeah.
When I buy things fast fashion, I don't feel badly about it because I know that I'm going to wear it for a really long time. I think when it's fast fashion and you're then going to turn around and dispose of it, it's like, that's the worst. And I try to buy cotton things that will break down more easily in the world. I don't know. We're going to try to do a long intro here, but are we out?
We may be out. I don't know. Are we out? We may be out for today. We should tell everyone we've done a lot of chatting lately.
We have done.
Not just when we saw each other, but we recorded an extra episode last week.
So much chatting. So much. How much chatting can two people do? Two friends, middle-aged
exactly.
friends do? How much? So here's the thing. If you are coming to Alt Summit in Palm Springs, middle of March, we will be there. We will put this on our social media, but we are doing a live recording at Alt Summit. We are also booking up a tour for the summer.
Yeah.
We will be putting up a schedule soon so you can get tickets. We're definitely coming to New York. We're definitely coming to Philadelphia. We are definitely coming to Los Angeles. More cities to come, TK. That's it. You can pre-order my book. Well, I'm going to say that at the end anyway. And let's just get into this episode. Our guest today is Lucy Sant. Lucy is a writer, critic, and artist. She is the author of several books exploring subcultures and urban history, including Low Life, Lures and Snares of New York, and a frequent contributor to the New York Review of Books. In 2021, at the age of 67, she transitioned, and we're here to talk about her new memoir about that experience, I Heard Her Call My Name, a memoir of transition. Welcome, Lucy. Hi.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you. So, this book is getting so much attention, as it should. This book is fantastic. Thank you for writing it. In February of 2020, you wrote an email to 30 close friends coming out as trans. Then shortly after that, you walked it back. What was your hesitation at that time, and what made you finally decide to move forward?
Initially, it was the fact that I knew in advance that my romantic and domestic relationship of 14 years would not survive this. I knew that about my partner, and we're still very close now, but I knew that the romantic and domestic aspects were going out the window. And I also thought, you know, because this had been a fear that had, you know, I mean, the biggest fear that had prevented me from transitioning for all those decades was the fact that I'm attracted to women, and I figured that women would reject me, and it was happening in front of my eyes. So I was trying to talk myself back into the closet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're blowing your life up, and that's that's a big step no matter what the reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
You write that your friends were by and large supportive of your choice to transition. Did anyone's reaction surprise you?
Well, some of those, I mentioned the secret sharers, these cis men who, in a few cases, very surprisingly, said they'd had, you know, kind of similar feelings. You know, some people told me of you know, throughout their youths, they regularly cross-dressed. And but these are all people who are like, you know, their lives are based on denial, as mine was. But, you know, they are not ready to take the next step.
Right. You write that part of what you feared about transitioning was the one-way trip aspect of it. Mm-hmm. How did you get over that?
By crossing the line. And, you know, this was, I knew that I was trans and I denied it. So the proof is that one-way fear, because I knew that, you know, if I took any steps, they would be permanent. And I got over that. Well, really, I mean, it was the mechanical process. So I started with FaceApp. I passed the picture through, and the result, gender swapped photo of myself in the present day, just, you know, reached deep down into my guts. And I was just knocked out. And I decided to see what I would look like earlier in my life, beginning about age 11 or so and on through. And every picture in the house. And that was a project. It became a real project because the pictures are scattered every which where. And I'm susceptible to projects. And furthermore, I never realized this until pretty recently, that one of the things that kept me from crossing the line in the past was that my fantasizing, my ideation, whatever you want to call it, had a time limit on it. Like after an hour or two, the door would slam shut. And because I had this project that was involved like going through boxes everywhere in the house and the attic, the basement and everywhere in between, that broke that time limit.
Right.
It just, wow. I mean, that simple thing that was out of my hands in a way, you know, so here we are.
During that period, did you feel like you were sneaking around? Was this something you were having to do furtively? Was it?
At that point, I was so consumed by this fever that I wasn't thinking in those terms.
Right.
Well, let's see. At that point, when I was doing this, my son was at school. My partner was around. She may have been in and out because she already had an apartment in New York City. So, you know, she was kind of halfway out the door in certain ways already. So, I mean, I probably did this completely unobserved.
Right. You write a lot about learning from younger people. Mm. And I'm thinking in particular, your friend Lior, who you write about in your book. What was it? What valuable lessons did you learn from younger people?
Well, self-confidence. You know, that was the main thing. I mean, just walking around the streets with Lior instilled me with this terrific self-confidence that I completely lacked and which comes naturally to her. I mean, it's just, you know, she's from that generation. And hanging out with Lior and her friends, some of whom are trans, some of whom are not, but everybody's completely chill. You know, it just felt very comfortable. And you know, one thing that had been a block to my acceptance of being transgender in the past, among the many, was that the styles. I mean, it was easy in those days, in the 20th century, to conflate it with camp, with drag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, camp and drag are great, but they're not at all what I'm about.
Yeah.
And with younger people, and of course, it's vast range, and I happen to know this cluster of people from Bard, where I used to teach, they're not performing, you know, they're right. Being normal people. And also, you know, Lior, you know, happened to be somebody with whom I didn't have to explain anything, you know. You know, from teaching, even 30 years ago, sometimes I would make a cultural reference. And my students who were at that point, no more than 10 years younger than me, would look, you know, completely blank. And with Lior, I just didn't have to explain stuff. It was remarkable. So she's a wonder.
Yeah. Have you wished, you know, oh God, I wish I'd lived at a different time. Like, I wish I was born in a different time. It feels different now, even though, I mean, obviously there's a lot of bad shit going on, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah. have you had that moment?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's an even split because, yes, I do wish that I had grown up with gender acceptance, you know, the broad gender spectrum acceptance. But on the other hand, I would, you know, if I had to do it over again, I prefer to have grown up in the 60s and 70s than now.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
I only wish it could have gone on, you know, and then we could have had those, you know, that gender acceptance within that much kinder framework where the world was not ruled by sociopaths with, you know, fortunes behind them. I mean, it's, yeah, anyway.
No, yes, I can imagine that. Right, I get that. That is absolutely it. It is a split, right? Who wants to grow up now, truthfully?
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. What has surprised you the most about living as a woman?
That there are so few surprises.
Huh.
That it feels so natural. I mean, I say in the book somewhere that, you know, so many things I felt like I was remembering them. It's spooky.
Wow.
You know, every day I have this period of thinking, holy smokes, here I am. I've done this. This is weird. And at the same time, it feels just completely normal and rational.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel self-conscious in various ways and various places, sure. But overall, you know, I'm just like walking down the street. I'm accomplishing errands. And I don't even think, you know, I am a transgender woman who is, you know, buying a sandwich at the deli. It's, you know, oh no, I'm just someone buying a sandwich at the deli. There's not really very much changed about me, you know, physical manifestation aside. I'm really very much the same person. Although, I mean, I'm a lot more, I can make conversation with anybody now, which I never, ever used to be able to do. I don't know why. I just like start talking. I, you know, things get going. It's not, I used to, as a guy, I would like, you know, say some awkward phrase, which would like hang in the air for a minute and then drop to the bottom of the canyon. That doesn't happen anymore. It's, you know, it's interesting.
Do you think it's happiness? Because I thought it was so poignant that your friends all told you that you smiled now with your whole face. Do you think it was just that you were finally who you are?
Well, yeah, that's a lot of it. I mean, there's who I am, but also just the negative positive aspects of having this secret removed from me. This weight that I was carrying on my shoulders for so long is gone. And I mean, you know, I'm the moment of my egg cracking, and I'll go to that phrase in a second, but the moment of my egg cracking happened a little over 3 years ago now.
Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support for Everything is Fine comes from Ritual. So I love Ritual. Everyone knows I love Ritual. I talk about Ritual all the time. I particularly love their daily multivitamin. And I also really have been enjoying their melatonin. But the thing I love most about Ritual is their Hyacera. It's a once daily skin supplement that's clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to 3.6 times reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to a placebo. Hyacera led to 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness within 90 days as compared to a placebo. You can enhance your skincare routine from the inside out with one daily capsule essenced with soothing vanilla. I love Hyacera. It's been rigorously tested and validated. It's one of the industry leading sustainability. It meets all of the industry leading sustainability standards. You know, I'm a beauty editor now. I am all about keeping my face plump and highest. Sarah absolutely has done that for me. I've been on it for months. I don't even know how long. And I can really see a difference in the texture of my skin. My skin looks more juicy, I guess is the best way to do it. Say it, do it. Okay, so you can start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/fine. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription to get today. That's ritual.com/fine for 25% off. And we're back. I want to move on to, because I think there's so many smart observations in this book about aging and vanity. And one thing that stood out to me was you can't get electrolysis because your facial hair is now gray, right? Which is something like we all like can relate to some degree. And what is your relationship with vanity now as an older woman?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Well, as it turns out, I mean, I went through a year of electrolysis. And then when she got to the mustache part, it was such torture. I could not do it anymore. And she said, well, why don't you get a laser treatment?
Oh, it was laser. Yeah. Sorry.
I went and got nine laser treatments, and it got rid of everything except the white hairs, which weren't gotten the first round. Anyway, yeah. Vanity is, yeah, it's tricky. I'm not, as you can see, I'm not wearing any makeup today. Makeup has become my friend. I don't do a lot of it, but I need it. Yeah. And frankly, I've seen my picture appear in a whole bunch of places recently, including the cover of the New York Times Book Review yesterday. And it's a humbling experience.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I mean, these photographers, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm not going to tell them how to do their job. But, you know, they really should think about not shooting an older woman from a low angle.
Oh, for God's sake. Yes. No.
You can't.
That's a New York Magazine, bingo. And also making sure that the lighting conditions do not exaggerate the wrinkles and folds that are already there.
The hollows, yes.
My current joke now is that I decided to change genders just at the point where men and women start to look more like each other.
It's true. Jen and I were just talking the other day about how hard it can be to look at photos of yourself. We both recently had portraits taken, and I think it's a trick of aging. It really is. You have to accept that that's really kind of what you look like.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot on this show about being invisible when you reach midlife. And I heard you say, I'm an old woman. Most guys don't register me at all. Are you feeling a kind of liberation with that invisibility as a woman?
No. I felt invisible as a guy. It's a little unjust that I should feel invisible as a woman.
Right.
You know, I mean, see, that's the thing. I mean, I'm a romantic and I yearn and all that kind of stuff. But I have no idea what kind of person could possibly be attracted to me at this point. Not interested in men, you know, but it's very weird. And this is like should be on my motto forever. I mean, I just try to satisfy myself.
Right.
I try to be the kind of person I'd want to know.
Yeah. Let's talk about clothes. Mm-hmm. What are you liking? Like there's a lot about fashion in the book. What are you liking wearing? Like what's your favorite thing you're getting to wear now?
It's funny. I've been radically narrowing like my closet because in the first 6 months, especially of my transition, I'd come into some money and I went nuts and I bought all kinds of stuff. And probably 75% of it was useless. It didn't fit, looked terrible, badly cut, big mistake, you know. So a lot went to the clothing donation box at the church down the street. And I find I'm still doing that because I realize, you know, things like, no, this is meant for someone 40 years younger than you, you know. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, I really noticed the continuity between my male and female styles. It's just, I'm still the same person. I will still favor dark colors. And, you know, I wear a lot of cardigans. And, you know, okay, I can see the equivalence in my former style, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I tend to go for, you know, cardigans and long skirts. And because even though I don't have huge feet, the kind of women's shoes I can wear are severely restricted. So I wear, you know, high top sneakers or combat boots most of the time.
Yeah.
But in any case, you know, here I was and, you know, barely transitioned, and I was buying Comme des Garçons and stuff on, well, I mean, on eBay, mind you. I don't do that anymore. I buy much more modest stuff now.
Yeah. And that was a learning process.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. For all of us as we're getting older, it's just like, oh wait, that doesn't look like I thought it would. You know, like, yeah. That's a surprise.
Uh-huh. I think you've defaulted to where I am, which is just like the uniform that works.
Right.
Bingo. The uniform that, yep, like, you know, gets rid of the stomach paunch and things like that.
I know. I do dress up for events, and actually tomorrow morning I'm flying off to the West Coast. So like that induces a little bit of panic. Is like, do I have an outfit that I can present on a stage, you know?
Yeah. Yes. That is the complicated one, because all of those outfits are made for women 30 years younger than us, you know, like, yeah. It's just, yeah.
But you know, there's certain basic shapes I can work with.
Yeah.
You know,
is it fun for you, the dressing, or is it just a problem?
Totally fun. Yeah. Oh yeah. Very much.
Yeah.
I mean, I love clothes. I always have.
Yeah. I feel like that's great, because for many women, I mean, I'm about to turn 60, like Sunday, and I feel like dressing is now finding a solution. Like the pleasure of dressing is gone, and now it's just finding a solution.
Well, I mean, you can do that and also find pleasure. You accent, you know, you accessorize, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You find a scarf, you find, you know, that's...
Oh, I love it. I don't care if I have to work around shit. I love it so much. Even if I'm going to hide my neck from now until eternity. Like, I love it. I love it. I love it so much.
I just want to ask, because it seems like, how are you with beauty products? Have you gone really all in on makeup and skincare?
No, I had, early on, I had two different people give me makeup instruction, and it was way too complicated. So I just forewent everything. But, you know, I have eyeshadow, mascara, concealer, lipstick, or lip, you know, the stuff you paint on instead of the stick.
Yeah.
And that's it, basically. You know, simple routine. I can do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I need something like that. Both for the fact that it takes me 5 minutes and for the fact that it's not ostentatious.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I wonder about this book, because since in recent years, you know, conservatives have waged an all-out war on the rights of trans people, and they're really ramping up right now. I'm sure you're clear on it like I am. Did this influence your decision to write the memoir?
Well, I mean, that would be like asking if my coming out was a response to this, because I decided to write the book like this with the second photo that came out of FaceApp. I mean, I decided,
yeah.
You know, and I'm a writer. I mean, yeah, of course I'm going to write a book about this.
Right.
I mean, now, the fact is that, you know, I finished the book in December 22, and so it's like, you know, a year and 3 months later or something now. And the discourse from the right wing has just gotten so much crazier. I mean, I feel like I barely addressed it in the book because it wasn't as severe as it's become. And it's alarming, and it's disgusting. And, you know, poor Nex in Oklahoma. That school superintendent, and, you know, I just want to take these people by the scruff of their neck, not that they would ever listen to anyone trying to speak reason to them and say, you know, look, this is not a moral issue. It's not about sex. It's a physiological matter. And it's being trans is really a lot like being double jointed or left handed or albino. You know, it's like something like that that's in the system. Nobody chooses to be trans. In fact, you know, I've heard a lot of trans women say, wish it weren't happening to me. I mean, there's a lot of out and proud people. But there's a lot of people who just say, you know, I mean, I'm trans because I'm trans. I mean, I cannot help it. It would not be my choice, you know, and I pretty much could say the same thing. I think it especially applies to those of us from the older generation, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I find upsetting is that this whole issue has been on my mind because I was just out in LA and I visit a friend whose kid is trans. Mm-hmm. And I was mentioning this to a friend who said, I just worry so much. This is a person with like good values. Mm-hmm. You know, wow. I just worry so much. I know that's a very broad thing to say, but it's somebody who has like devoted their lives to like helping others professionally, mm-hmm. like a person I always think of as a saint. But it was so upsetting to me to hear somebody who I think is very smart say something that felt so ignorant.
Oh, wait, she worries so much about, I mean,
she worries so much about kids making the wrong choice of deciding they're trans because it's trendy, which seems absurd.
Yeah, that's the argument you hear all the time. And they're protecting young people. Yeah. This is crap. I mean, this is nonsense. And I mean, that's one thing about writing this book. I did want to show myself as living proof that if you try to stomp it out, you will not succeed.
Right.
It's there in your body and it remains there for the rest of your life. So it's, you know, you go through the putting yourself in jail for a lifetime or you let it out.
You know, I've heard you say that most cis people really don't get the transgender experience, right? Mm-hmm. What do you wish that cisgender people better understood? Like, what's the number one thing that we could help teach these people who are so concerned about trans people or who just don't understand it at all?
Well, I mean, pretty much what I just said, a couple questions back, that it's not a choice and it's not about sex and it's not a moral issue. This is something physical, you know, it's there from the womb.
Yeah, right.
I've read you say that since you transitioned, you've become brutally honest.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it might partly be, you know, reaching a certain age as a curmudgeon as well. But, you know, it's because I'm not protecting myself.
Right.
I don't have anything to protect anymore. You know, in multiple ways, because not only have I released my secret into the world, but, you know, I mean, that's one of the, you know, it's a slightly poisoned attribute of being old, too, is like, you know, sticks and stones, man. I'm turning 70 in 3 months. And, you know, it's just not really that much you can do to me. You can kill me, but how far ahead of the actuarial curve are you going to be, you know?
That's hilarious. You wrote that Patti Smith set off a revolution in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, to the extent that I can, because it's still, you know, it was just one of those. I read about her. In, I think the first time she was mentioned in print, it was a New York supplement to Rolling Stone that was put out for like a year or something like that. And she just put on her play with Sam Shepard, Cowboy Mouth. And I just knew from reading this piece, I had like this immediate, like telepathic or something connection with her. And then that was in 1971. I finally saw her perform in 73 and, you know, lifelong fan. And she just, like I say in the book, it was almost like I was seeing my imagination being manifested by a much better me.
Wow.
And the androgyny that she projected at that point in her career, that was definitely a factor. You know, I'd never even considered androgyny. You know, this was the first step out of the binary for me, was seeing Patti on stage.
Mm. Who are some other women who inspired you?
Oh, gosh, there's a whole lot. Yeah. Well, I mentioned Françoise Hardy because for some reason, seeing photos of her in French teen magazines when I was, you know, beginning of adolescence just blew my mind because she's so beautiful. And there was a little something masculine about her at the same time. It was crazy. And, you know, it was years before I heard her records. but I still have a picture of her on my wall. You know, the records of Nico. Oh gosh, the first four records were what I played like nonstop from first year transitioning, especially Chelsea Girl and The End. Well, my former boss and editor and friend, Barbara Epstein, and sort of surrogate mother as well. I mean, she did for me as a writer kind of what Lior did for me as a trans woman. Show me that I can have self-confidence, that I can speak with my own mouth, you know, that despite, you know, being this obscure immigrant kid from the Belgian working class, that I have as much right to my opinions as anyone. And it's because of her that I have a professional writing career, really, more than any other factor. And also her friend, the novelist Elizabeth Hardwick, who novelist and critic, who I met when I was in college and who encouraged me mightily, wrote my first blurb ever. And I in the book, I list like, you know, 30 names or something like that, 40 names. And so many of my women friends said, wow, our lists are almost exactly the same.
Wow. Do you miss New York? Do you miss the New York City that you wrote about, that you lived in, that you were a part of?
Yeah, I thought I was going to live there the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I go there a lot. I've got places to stay, but I couldn't live there now. I mean, I do think about it now because I'm thinking, well, you know, at some point I won't want to climb stairs or drive a car much. So, you know, I've always wanted to live in an apartment hotel, if those still exist.
Yes. Yeah.
But for now, I mean, I rush home. I go to New York for a day and a half and I rush home. It's just there's no place. I mean, I can visit my friends and have a good time. But, you know, we're all adults, so we don't hang out. Right. We have a meal and that's it. And then all the places that for me represented New York, places where I, you know, I could spend time, I could learn things, bookstores, record stores, newsstands, cheap restaurants, cafeterias, even the old kind of bars that were like not dark and did not feature loud music, where you could like sit all afternoon and read a book. You know, all those things are gone forever.
Yeah. And diners. No more diners.
Well, there are a few here and there.
Yeah, but it's like $40 for French toast.
No, absolutely.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
I went to one the last time I was in New York and I was like, wait a second. How is this? How did I just spend $150 on brunch?
I don't go to diners in the city much because there's so many of them around where I live here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that's true.
Do you feel isolated where you are?
Oh, I am isolated. There's no question about it, especially in winter when most of my friends here on the west bank of the Hudson are seasonal and come up in the warm months. And then I have another cluster of friends across the river at Bard, where I used to teach. But, you know, most of them have young families and stuff. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time by myself. But, that, you know, that's been true my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, I want to make sure before we let you go, it's like, what advice would you give to somebody setting out on this journey? And would your advice be the same for a young person as it would for somebody who's a bit older?
Ooh, no, it would have to be different. Okay. I mean, because for a young person, I'd say go find your peers.
Yeah.
For an older person, it's more like rely on yourself.
Right.
And what advice would you give parents who are dealing with a trans child?
Listen, you know, just open your ears and listen. And I also would recommend, because I just saw it last night, I'd recommend that parents especially see the movie Orlando, the political autobiography by the Spanish trans writer and philosopher Paul B. Preciado, which is, well, I don't know if you want to mention this, is currently running on Criterion.
We can mention that.
I don't know. You know, commercial power. They might be competitors of yours after all.
No. No. No, wait. This is an independent podcast, Lucy. Nobody. okay, Lucy, where can people find you? Because we want people to find your work. Do you have a website, Instagram? Where should we direct people?
I have a website, lucysoft.com. And I'm also on Instagram as @LUXXANTE.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Well, thank you.
And good luck with everything. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it across the platforms, especially Apple Podcasts, because they've been doing all kinds of funky things with podcast downloads. Please rate it, subscribe to it. It helps people find the show. It makes a difference. If you want to support the production of the show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. It's $3. It helps us keep the lights on. We sometimes put special bonus episodes there, put up special content. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on Instagram at EAF Podcast. We're on Facebook with a robust and private Facebook group. You can find Kim at kimfrance.substack.com. You can find me at Jen Romolini Vanity on Instagram. If you want to pre-order my book, the link is in the bio. Please pre-order my book. The show is mixed and edited by Natalie Rivera. Natalie, we love you, especially after what you had to deal with on this episode. And we'll be back next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.